The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. On this Tuesday, April the 1st, 2025. And I'm not kidding. Joining me in studio. See what I did there?
You're not kidding that I'm joining you in studio?
No, I'm not kidding because it's April 1st.
Okay.
See what I did?
I did see what you did there.
Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. I was not creative enough to come up with any April Fool's jokes. So,
have you been?
I didn't even realize it was April 1st.
So, have you been a victim, or you don't know yet?
As of today, no. In the past, yes.
Yes.
But not
Chris
today.
Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. It just occurred to me that because of the time difference, like people in Australia, it's already April the 2nd there. So, like, is it underwhelming?
That's a good question. That's fair.
Most of the world is on April 1st right now. That's with right. The exception of Australia.
You know, Chris, a thousand things I would have said there, and yours was not one of them.
There are some random things that pop into my head from time to time, and that's one of them. It's a blessing Chris and a curse.
Hey, Ray Pritchard, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
We're doing great. Haven't heard from you in a while. Where you been?
Been out and about, been in Alabama and Florida, teaching the Bible down there for a couple of weeks at the Bible Conference and the Bible Institute, and drove down there and drove back. And, you know, I got to say this. I wish to file an April Fool's protest about the weather, Tim. It feels like the weather right now is one great big April Fool's joke here in the middle of the country. It's just, you know.
What's it doing there in Kansas City?
Right now it's cold or chilly, I guess, and we're going to get tornadoes and the hail and the wild winds. They've ratcheted it up to number 3, whatever that is on their scale,
right.
You know. So it feels like I'm trying to find a way to file a protest against April Fool's weather.
I know, right?
I can't get anybody to answer the phone.
That's funny.
Well, I've been victimized by people using the April Fool's in the past. But rarely.
Yeah, rarely.
Rarely. But
one I wanted to get my brother on. I guess we'll have to wait to 2026. But he was Walker Wildman, my brother, was a massive, massive part in our new building construction. And what I want to do one day, wait, is he going to hear this, you think?
No, he's in a meeting.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think he listens to our show either.
No one tell him.
No one tell him. What I want to do in April 1st, 2026, which I just failed to do this year, is put a sheet of paper on his desk that has to do with the reconstruction of the current building and how we were going to knock out some walls and move some things around.
Oh, but he'll have a panic attack.
But I wanted to make it as official as possible.
And, well, you need to sign your name to the bottom of it. Not in mine, because he's going to come in there and go, what in the world is going on here? But yeah, that would be a good one.
That'd be a great April Fool's. I've never been really good at practical jokes, but I get just far enough to where my face gives it away because I feel bad. I feel like if I carry this any further, I may get, they may hit me.
Then you're going to have to tell them, it's a joke.
Yes, right. That's it.
All right. Well, good to have you back with us, Ray, and give us a good word from the scriptures today.
Hey, let's go to Exodus chapter 4. That's the story, Tim, where Moses is about to go before Pharaoh, and he does not want to go. In fact, if you read in one light, Exodus 3 and 4, one of the most human parts of the Bible, because here's Moses, he's 80 years old, and God says, I want you to go and speak to Pharaoh, a cold-blooded killer, right? Most powerful, ruthless man in the world. Most, I can't do it. I can't speak. You know, my tongue is heavy. I stutter and all this. And God says, you know, I made you. And he says, you know, I killed a man. I got a bad reputation. My own people don't want me. I have called you. Now go and do it. And there's this back and forth between God and Moses, which when you read it, you go, I get it. You know, you're taking your life in your hands. You, Pharaoh looks at you wrong, cross-eyed. You're going to be dead before you can get out of there. You know, so it's, he doesn't want to do it. And you get the feeling finally God's had. Yeah, I do think maybe with all of us, Tim, there comes moments when God says, okay, son, enough is enough is enough. And God said to Moses, what is in your hand? Now, we all know that story. It's a staff, right? It's a staff of authority and power. Throw it down. What happened? Turns into a snake. And, of course, what was Satan's first symbol in the Bible? He appears as a serpent in the Garden of Eden. And the Egyptians worshiped the snake, you know, as one of their gods. And so when Moses saw the snake, he ran away. And God says, pick it back up, which I think it took a whole lot more courage to pick it back up than to throw it down in the first place. And God says, okay, now what is in your hand? I just want to make a quick point here. What God didn't say, he didn't say how much is in your hand, because that doesn't matter. He didn't ask, where'd you get whatever's in your hand? Because that doesn't matter. He doesn't ask, what have you done with what's in your hand? Because that doesn't matter. And listen, friends, listen. Here's one question he doesn't ask. How much is in your brother's hand? Because it doesn't matter. We live in a world where we like to compare ourselves with each other. Who's got more and who's got less? God's not interested in all that. All he says is, what's in your hand? Throw it down, give it to me, and miracles will take place. If you want to see God use you, well, friends, we all got to stop making excuses. We all got to stop looking around. We got to stop playing the comparison game, because it doesn't matter what's in anybody else's hand. God says, what's in your hand? Throw it down, give it to me. That's when the miracles take place. So, friends, whatever you're facing today, God says to you what he says to me and to all of us, what's in your hand? Give it to me, and great things will happen. And by the way, young man, young teenage boy, what's in your hand? A slingshot. Go down and get yourself 5 smooth stones and see what God can do. Paul in prison, what's in your hand? A quill pen. Sit down and start writing. Out comes and forth the New Testament. Little boy, what's in your hand? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Give it to Jesus and see what he can do. Fear not, friends. No matter whether you think what you have in your hands is a lot or a little, that doesn't matter. If you feel like it's not enough, well, in your own power, it's not enough. Take whatever you have, give it to Jesus, and you'll be amazed at what God can do through you and in you today.
Amen. 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 Well, thank you for that, Ray, that encouragement from
Exodus,
the scriptures, and from Exodus and the story of Moses. And you're right, Moses was a self-doubter all the way. Just seemed like, you know, I can't do this. And send Aaron. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Wes.
Ray, I was going to say, it's that passage of scripture that has shaped my coaching philosophy, in the sense that I tell players and parents, don't compare yourself to other players, or don't compare your kid to another kid. If you do anything, you compare yourself to yourself. So I would teach my son,
go ahead.
9-year-old Bennett, you know, if you're wanting to hit better, are you hitting better today than you did a month ago? You know, I'm just using an example of everyday life, of where you compare yourself to, are you making a Christian, are you progressing in your Christianity? Are you being sanctified day to day by compared to yourself, not other people? Because other people are at different walks of life. They have different circumstances going on. And honestly, what you were emphasizing, they just have different, we got different skills and gifts and abilities that God gives each of us. And so we would unnecessarily become either greedy or burdensome or worrisome if we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people.
You know, God's never going to say to me, what's in your brother Alan's hand, or what's in Andy's hand, or what's in Ron's hand? Those are my 3 brothers. Hey, that's between them and God. He's only going to say to me, Ray, what's in your hand? Don't worry about anybody else. Give it to me and see what I can do. That actually encourages me because we live in a comparison-based world.
We do.
All right, Christopher, what is the first story?
Yes, Wisconsin and Florida are two states to keep an eye on today because of some elections going on there in Wisconsin and the state of Florida. Let's begin in Wisconsin, where control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is at stake in today's voting. Republicans, including President Trump and Elon Musk, have lined up behind a guy named Brad Schimmel, if I said his name correctly. Brad is a former state attorney general in the great state of Wisconsin, whereas Democrats like former President Barack Obama and billionaire megadonor George Soros have backed a lady named Susan Crawford. She is a Dane County, Wisconsin judge who is pro-abortion and opposes voting ID, among other things. These two candidates have spared little time attacking one another, and I've got some audio here from both candidates. Susan Crawford basically says Elon Musk is trying to buy this election. Clip one.
Really motivated and want to make sure that we protect the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They don't want to see some outsider, some billionaire come in and try to buy a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is, you know, what Elon Musk is trying to do.
Now, in response to this today, Brad Schimmel said, well, that's rich coming from somebody that's backed by a billionaire mega donor. Clip two.
Yeah, isn't that the great irony here? George Soros has pumped millions into her race along with Reid Hoffman and J.B. Pritzker, and four out of five of my opponent's donors, 80% of her donors, don't live in Wisconsin. Well over 80% of my donors do vote in Wisconsin because they're Wisconsin residents. This is gross. They're just doing all this to try to distract from what's happening on their side. They are now the party of the big money elite, and I am on the side of the Wisconsin voters, the Wisconsin workers that are making this state great.
Now, we can get your reaction, but I do want to point people's attention to both AFN.net, where we have coverage of this, as well as our Today's Issues Facebook page, where I've posted this information.
Okay, why so much national attention to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin?
Yes, there's a couple of reasons, and both of them involve Elon Musk. The left hates him right now, so much so that they want to set his cars on fire. And it's kind of a test to see how the nation will react to things that involve Donald Trump and Elon Musk. I think that's why the media has spent as much national attention on it.
But isn't there a redistricting at risk here or in question, or is that somewhere else?
This is the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So, I mean, kind of the fate of the state judiciary, so to speak, is one big thing. Although abortion is another big one. I know a lot of our pro-life allies have weighed in on this issue as well.
From Jenna Ellis here on AFN, it says it's not just the balance of Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court for their own issues and issues like election integrity, voter ID, and some of these things that are definitely incredibly important.
I'll share that one too for you.
And Wisconsin is a swing state, so it does matter the state politics there and what happens there and the rules there, because that will affect the next congressional races, but also presidential.
Yes.
Race.
Now, two other things to point out, or one other big thing to point out here. Voters go to the polls today in two Florida districts that have a GOP-friendly history. Floridians are voting today on the replacements for former Congressman Matt Gaetz and Mike Waltz. Matt Gaetz left Congress when President Trump nominated him to be Attorney General, and then, of course, he pulled his nomination. Mike Waltz is now the National Security Advisor. Again, these are GOP-friendly districts. I heard a Fox story yesterday that said the GOP majority is still going to be intact even if the Republicans were to lose one or both of these elections. But the media would love for a Democrat to do well in one or both of these districts because that'll be their champion for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Well, every seat matters in the United States House of Representatives because Speaker Mike Johnson only has like a 5-vote margin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extremely thin. So you really don't need to lose any. And as you say, these are relatively red districts in Florida today with the special election that
are predicted to win.
That the Republicans should win. Next story.
Well, the Trump administration is still on its path to deporting illegal immigrants. And I
really
say that, yes. And I say that based on sound from Tom Homan. It's not a joke. This will sound much like what we've heard Tom Homan say in the last few weeks.
For those who don't know, Who is Tom Homan, Chris?
Tom Homan is the border czar. That is his official title at the ICE, but he's the border czar there. And he says, you know, regardless of what one or more activist judges are telling us, we're not letting up. Clip three.
Despite what Judge Boasberg says, we're going to continue to arrest members of MS-13 in Trinidad, Nicaragua, and remove them under Title 8. We'll hold off on the Alien Enemies Act while that's all being litigated, but we're going to take these people off the street every day, 24/7 across this country. We're not letting up.
I played that clip. I called for it while you were saying something.
No, it's okay. I just wish Tom Homan would use commas.
I'll put in a call.
That would be helpful for me to understand exactly what he's saying there. Let's play that again so I can hear it. Go ahead.
Despite what Judge Boasberg says, we're going to continue to arrest members of MS-13 in Trinidad, Nicaragua, and remove them under Title 8. We'll hold off on the Alien Enemies Act while that's all being litigated, but we're going to take these people off the street every day, 24/7 across this country. We're not letting up.
Okay, if there's one person who sleeps less than Donald Trump, it's Tom Homan.
Yeah,
that guy is relentless, and this is his mission from God, okay, to eradicate our streets of gang members who are not don't belong here in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, Ray, he was talking there. I heard him say MS-13.
Right.
The
right.
other one he mentioned. I don't know all the street gangs, but anyway, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this one judge is not going to stop us from cleaning up the streets of America.
Look, I support this 150%, if that's possible. What he's saying is, Tim, we're going after the bad guys. We're going after the murderers. We're going after the drug dealers, the drug traffickers. We're going after the sex traffickers. We're going after the rapists. We're going after the worst of the worst. I know people like to caricature this as if the Trump administration is trying to find the mothers with the kids and take out, you know, take out helpless people and send them back home. That is certainly not what is happening here. They are targeting with a laser focus the worst of the worst. They're finding them, incarcerating them, and they are shipping them out of the country. Bully for him, and I wish them every success. I think most Americans, Wesley, agree with that approach.
Oh, absolutely. I believe so. I think that's what helped President Trump get elected, reelected. So am I understanding that he's saying that there are some things that are being litigated, and that's fine, but in the meantime, we're still going to detain them, even if we don't necessarily send them back?
Well, okay.
Right away?
Yes, there is. This is being litigated in
the court. Is this that one judge?
It's the one judge, yeah. and then they went up to the appellate level, and I think 2 out of 3 judges
correct
ruled against President Trump and Homan on this. So this will be appealed to the United States Supreme Court.
Right, right.
That's what they're talking about here.
So while that's going on, he's saying we're still going to do our job.
Yeah, he made reference to, okay, if we can't use this law, we'll use another law to do the same thing. It's what he was saying. But anyway, they're doing everything they possibly can. The president and his administration,
and they're doing a good job
to follow through with their promises to the American people to
deport illegal
immigrants, especially the gang
starting with
criminals.
Right. Now, related to this is a story that Tim came across from the Daily Mail. A monster deportation center that could hold up to 10,000 migrants is being built on the U.S.-Mexico borders. Members of President Trump's administration have confirmed. Trump has selected Fort Bliss in El Paso as the first of several planned mega migrant centers to carry out what he's calling the largest deportation program of criminals in the history of the U.S.
First of all, I think that's been needed for a long, long time. That is big holding areas on the border, okay? But secondly, I don't know if he's going to need them. Because the pictures I've seen, the stories I'm hearing is that illegal immigration into the United States has stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's at a trickle. And furthermore, Ray, Allison, my wife and I, we were talking about this yesterday. Psychologically, if you are coming here to the U.S. and you are a gang member, or you're involved in drugs or whatever, the, you know, selling drugs or human trafficking, whatever, the, all the terrible things that these people do. But you think, well, if I'm captured, I may be sent to the El Salvador hellhole.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Prison. Right. Wouldn't that serve as a deterrent?
If you got a functioning brain cell.
Right.
And which is a good question. But if you've got a functioning brain cell, you do not, Tim. They're not playing games. Evidently down there in El Salvador, they are working hand in hand with the White House. I mean, the leaders down there in El Salvador. And so the last place you want to end up is in a prison in El Salvador. That ought to be a wake-up call for some people, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm thinking that will be as a deterrent, because that word gets out among all the gangs that, hey, if you get caught, if they capture you, you get sent to El Salvador, you're never to be heard from again, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
Again, that has to be in the minds of these criminals and these gang members, because they're going, like, do I want to risk that? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, we will see. It's not like going to a U.S. prison, doesn't look like to me.
Yeah.
No.
For those who don't know, we're talking about the pictures you've seen. You may wonder, where are these pictures from? These are all the men, their heads are shaved. They're often pictured shirtless. Mm-hmm. All of them are tattooed up, and they're like, they got their hands bound. It looks terrible. Mm-hmm. It's from a, you know, from not a, terrible. I mean, I don't mean that gang shouldn't be incarcerated. I'm talking about, you feel like somewhere you don't want, it's not like an American prison where you're locked up in jail and you're waiting on your lawyer.
Yeah.
And get your iPad out.
Yeah, exactly. Turn on the TV.
Right.
DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, when she went down to one of those prisons down there, she did like this photo in front of the guys standing shirtless behind her, and it reminded me of a horror movie where the girl is like by herself and she's running away from like the evil whatever, and you know, it reminded me of that. That's what it looked like, because they're all standing there with all these tattoos, many of them on their faces. It looked shocking.
Well, I'm just glad that AFN's keeping up with what's going on at the border and immigration, because that's the number one thing that Trump campaigned on, and so far he's kept his promises in many, many areas.
Oh, yeah.
But this was the number one thing. So keeping up with this, because we know.
But the point of that story that you led with right there is that they're building, the president and the federal government are going to build a huge
facility
or facilities to detain people, instead of doing this catch and release nonsense,
right,
where you catch people who've coming here illegal and then you just send them off into the interior of the country and
until further notice.
Yeah. Show back up in a year or two for
report
your hearing.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Right. That like they're going to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, that's what Biden was doing.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, that is a very good idea there.
In addition to
all the other things.
Yeah, deporting and, yeah.
Yes. Thanks.
You're good now. It was
on one of the big signature issues of President Trump's campaign, he is, for all the world to see, he is following through on his promises.
Right.
Yes, so that's one thing he is doing. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
And Sandy.
Sandy Rios will be joining us. So we look forward to talking to Sandy. Stay with us.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Tuesday, April the 1st. I'm Tim with Wesley and Chris and Ray. We thank you for listening to AFR. Well, joining us now is Sandy Rios, our good friend from and colleague from Sandy Rios 24/7. That's the podcast that many of you listen to. Sandy went from being live on the radio each morning for 10 years for us, and she went to that to hosting a three times a week podcast called Sandy Rios 24/7, which will tell you how to download that if you don't know already. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Hey, did you play a April 1st joke on anybody or get one played on you?
Well, I told a story of one this morning. You want me to tell you quickly?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so when I was on the air in Chicago, Guy Benson was my producer. Guy, now people know him from Fox, but
right.
So he was just out of Northwestern, young guy. But he had this is Guy Benson. So I brought him into the studio, and this is what we did. He announced to my audience that I had just taken the position of spokesman, press secretary for President Barack Obama. And I said, I said, oh, I'm so humbled. And, you know, it really was a big surprise.
Oh, you played along with it.
And yeah.
Okay.
And we had 10 phone lines. The phone lines just lit up like a Christmas tree. And people were just called. They didn't ever understand that we were just kidding.
Oh, my word.
That was really fun.
The worst kind of joke is when somebody overreacts to something that isn't true and then you have to tell them. You know,
yeah.
Hey, I know you just slapped me across the face, yes. But I was kidding.
That's why I said
things like we're so disappointed in. Oh my,
right,
Sandy,
Sandy so Rios. There's nobody to the right of Sandy Rios, and she's taking over for the press secretary position for Barack Obama. Very, very few to the left of him. And somebody believed it. Did he do it on April 1st? Obviously.
Yes,
yeah, oh, wow.
And a lot of people. I don't mean just somebody. Yeah, I mean a lot of people.
How long ago was this?
That was probably 20 years ago.
But I remember.
25 years ago?
No. It was Bruce and I were married, so it'd be probably 2010 or 11.
Okay.
See, I thought I remember this.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I remember this.
You do?
Yeah, I do. It was on live radio, wasn't it?
Yes.
But it wasn't on AFR.
It wasn't?
No.
No, okay. It wasn't.
Maybe I've just heard you share the story before. Maybe that's what it is.
It could be. But yeah, it was in Chicago.
She was on the air locally in Chicago doing a talk show.
Okay. Yeah.
And Guy Benson was her producer, and he's the one that, and he has a very professional sounding.
Authoritative.
Yeah, authoritative voice like this right here.
He was only like 20 years old,
right,
but he still had that authoritative voice.
Well, we all could use a good laugh, and that was a good one. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, Ray, were you listening that morning in Chicago, or you had already moved, hadn't you?
I had already moved, but I'm not surprised. Although I would not have been fooled by that, Sandy. I know you.
No. That's like the,
I'm glad to know you trust me more than that, Ray.
I do.
I am.
All right. Well, Sandy, we wanted to, by the way, the podcast going gangbusters here. We, you know, see the people who download the numbers, rather. And so it's doing very well. Tell folks how they can access that and what kind of content they can expect.
Well, just this week, yeah. I interviewed John Eastman. It's going, I did two parts. John was President Trump's attorney. He's the one that has been, his law license has been suspended because he recommended to Mike Pence that the Constitution did not prohibit him from delaying accepting the electoral votes until the states that were requesting it could sort out the problems in their states. So that's the controversy. And then John, he had to move from his home. He's had death threats. He's now got millions of dollars in legal bills. So we talked today about his, yesterday we talked about, it hasn't aired yet, so people can hear it. It'll go up today. But so that's part one. He'll talk about that trial, about his law license. Then we talked about these rogue judges, the 15 executive orders. 15, I can't even think of the name. I'm trying to hurry. The lower court judges who tried to stop President Trump's executive orders with these injunctions, national injunctions.
Right. Okay.
So that's fascinating. So John is a constitutional expert, so it was great stuff. And then Friday we'll have Hans von Spakovsky. Hans and I talk about President Trump's executive order reinstating true American history in the Smithsonian Museums.
Okay, and I want to talk about that right now because I asked you this morning what would be a good topic for us today. And you said Trump signing order to restore American history with the Smithsonian Museum. Now, the Smithsonian is, some people think that's one particular museum. It's a series of, if that's what you want to call it, of museums throughout Washington, D.C. In other words, the Smithsonian is the American history, the natural history, the art gallery, the air and space, and other things. Which comprises the Smithsonian. Am I right about that?
Yes, and there's like 21 of them, and it includes the National Zoo.
Right.
And they're mostly on the National Mall, you know, which is the division between the White House and the Lincoln Memorial.
Okay, so what's this Trump signing order to restore American history with the Smithsonian, what is that about?
Well, if you've been to you have, Jim.
Yes.
You've been in the museums in Washington in the last, and I'd say this has been happening. President Trump says in his order 10 years, but I guarantee you it's been longer than 10 years because I'm a history buff and I've been to these. I've been upset so many times, but let me give you specific examples of what you can find in these great museums. The American Art Museum, it currently features an exhibit that addresses how sculpture has been a powerful tool in promoting scientific racism and further claims that the United States has used race to establish and maintain systems of power, privilege, and disenfranchisement. And that's the American Art Museum. The National Museum of African American History and Culture, that's the newest one. It proclaims that hard work, individualism, the nuclear family, all of those are aspects of white culture. And last but not least, this is the third example. The American Women's History Museum celebrates male athletes participating in women's sports. That's what's happening now, and I could tell you a whole lot more stories of my own personal experiences, but President Trump's putting a stop to this. And he calls it divisive narratives and improper ideology, and he wants it stopped.
So you're saying reverse it or just stop and do no more?
Oh, no, we have to stop it. Wesley, if you've ever been to those museums, it's deeply entrenched. It's sick. It's really sick. Yeah,
what you have, just excuse me for interrupting, what you have here, the same woke, lefty, American-hating people that are on college campuses doing these demonstrations and in charge of a lot of the colleges and universities, and that same ideology, these people can control DEI stuff too. Mm-hmm. These people get in control of a institution, and then they hire people that only think like they do.
Right,
and then they start changing things like what Sandy's talking about, changing things because they want to align it with their own ideology.
And I understand that. So let me ask the question differently. What I'm asking is, because I haven't read what Trump's doing here, is he expecting through his administration to stop any of this moving forward or go back and change it?
Oh, no.
Change.
It's got to go.
Wesley,
you'll understand. Like, you know, when you go to museums and they'll refer to evolution as though it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
These creatures evolved, you know,
true.
And it's just baked in the cake.
Yeah.
Well, this stuff is baked in the cake in the language. It's been going on so long, they've got to unbake that cake.
They're the same people that didn't want Clarence Thomas in the Black History Museum.
That's right.
So that's the way they think. He's a conservative, therefore he's not black in their mind.
Sure.
So therefore he's not worthy of being, even though he's the second African-American person to be on the United States Supreme Court.
Right.
But to them, he's disqualified because he's a conservative. That's the way these people think.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sandy.
I was just going to give you an example, a recent example for us. I've had a lot of things like this happen to me through the years, and I've embarrassed my son, my husband. I get so angry when I hear this misapplied history because I love history and I know a lot about it. Not an expert. I'm a layperson. But we went to the Museum of the National Archives. We just thought let's go see the Declaration of Independence. We've both seen it, but we want to go again. So we went, and it was lovely and very moving. I always enjoy it. So then in that same building, the National Archives, adjacent is the Magna Carta. So the Magna Carta is this, I won't go into it, but it's a document out of England. It's kind of the precursor to the whole notion that men could be free and govern themselves. So it's a beautiful document. We go into this room, and it's like about a 6-foot case and a thing on the wall, and that's nice. I have no complaints about that because it was the text of the Magna Carta. The explanation was true as far as I could tell. But you turn left, and immediately it says, but America hasn't lived up to this. And then you've got pictures of slaves all along the walls. And then the next thing you've got pictures of women who are so oppressed in this country. Then the next thing you've got is workers and how unions have come to rescue them because America is, you know, tormenting and oppressing all of these people. So that was, the Declaration
as if,
of Independence.
As if there's been no progress made in the history of our country on the issues of race and sex and fairness and working conditions for people, all those things. Anyway, go ahead, Ray, with your question.
Okay, Sandy, this is a tremendous move by President Trump, and kudos to him for following up. But my question is this. So he issues this directive, and the museums, correct me if I'm wrong here, but museums are still day-to-day in the hands of left-wing, left-leaning radical curators who produced this nonsense in the first place. What's to keep them from simply ignoring what the president said? How do you get this thing followed up on when you've got the wrong people running the Smithsonian in the first place?
Well, I think he's trying to handle that too. And you know, he pretty much does think of everything. He's got J.D. Vance in charge of this, and he's got the other part is Doug Burgum, a Secretary of the Interior, has been instructed to reinstate all the monuments that have been knocked down and removed. Anything that has, whatever is real history needs to go back. And so, it's a massive, massive in scope order. It's not just now, tomorrow you have to do this. He's thought through this. And they're trying to he's asking Congress to appoint people to the board there. J.D. Vance is on the board by virtue of being vice president. To appoint people to change the board, change them out. So he's doing like a surgical.
Yeah, it's going to take change. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I think that with the team in place that you just mentioned, because Burgum will have to hire his guys and ladies, and they'll have to hire their people, and so it'll take a little bit of a time.
Well, what a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you know what? I'll tell you what else he's doing. This, I don't know if you've heard this. I'm really excited about this. I don't know what you guys are doing in July of 2026, but I'm going to St. Louis because President Trump is organizing this huge celebration of our 250th birthday as a country.
Okay.
And it's going to be, I think of this, these are my words, not his, but I think of it as like a World's Fair. There's going to be exhibits of real history. I don't know how it's going to happen. Maybe. I don't know. But he's planning this huge celebration. He's also issued this kind of a contest for children across the country to write essays on history. So that's just the part. I only know a tiny bit of it,
right.
But I'm just telling you that's happening. And I'm really excited about that. I want to reserve a hotel close by.
You said it's going to be in St. Louis?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
St. Louis.
July 4th
of 2026.
Oh, okay. Wow. Of course, our country will be 250 years old that year.
That's the point. That's the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Isn't that exciting? And, you know, I don't know how you guys feel, but I do already. The problems are not over and they're not all solved. That would be silly. But the bit that he's managed to do, I just find my heart just so
well,
happy.
He's trying. Even though you can't do everything all the time, but he's trying every day. Mm-hmm. That's what I give him credit for. Yes, getting things accomplished, absolutely. But he's and he may not be able to do everything legislatively that we want because the margins are so thin in the House. But he's trying, and his team is trying on most every issue to do the right thing and to get some things accomplished, like the one you're citing right now, which I'd not even heard about.
Mm-mm, me either,
quite frankly.
Let me jump in to make something really practical. I didn't even make this point on my podcast this morning, but today is an election day. We're talking on April 1st. April Fool's Day, and no fooling. There are some important elections today. And the reason I mention it in the context of this is President Trump cannot do everything. And the things that he can do, he can't do without a Congress that supports him.
Right.
And so we have to then, just because he's not on the ballot, doesn't mean you can forget or not vote in these elections. We've already lost an election in Pennsylvania, meaning conservatives. And that was a seat that should have gone. It was a strongly Republican area, and the Democrats have taken it because they're pouring millions of dollars into these races. So today, Mike Waltz's seat and Matt Gaetz's seat are up in Florida, and millions of dollars have come in to try to take that seat for the Democrats. So people in Florida, please vote today. Yeah. Second thing, up in Wisconsin, have you guys talked about the race up there?
We have, but go ahead.
Well, it's a very it's huge. $100 million have been spent on this Supreme Court race, which is taking place in Wisconsin today. It's not just about the whole issue there is that it's a strong conservative against a radical leftist feminist. And she's made it clear that she wants to see redistricting. They've already been working on this so that two seats in the House would be lost. She's a pro-transgender, pro-abortion, all of that. But it's not just that, Tim. It's also, it's voter ID that's on the ballot. There are lots of local elections. And Wisconsin's fighting for its life. You know, it's a battle between, like, Waukesha County is a huge county. And this judge is from Waukesha, strong Christian county, unbelievable. And Madison, meanwhile, is the home of American communism. It is the home. So you've got all of this, seriously, generational wickedness out of Madison in that area, and then you've got these strong believers, and it's a fight, and it's always, always a battle for them. So they need our help, and we need people in Wisconsin to go out and vote today.
It's definitely a purple state, a swing state, as you, for the reasons you said, Sandy, Wisconsin we're talking about here. And I did not realize that exactly why the national implications were, and why so much attention was being given to a state Supreme Court election. Chris mentioned some of the issues earlier, but you just mentioned redistricting. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. So we will pay attention to see who wins in that race in Wisconsin. All right. Well, Sandy, thank you so much for being on with us. And the podcast is going great. It's three times a week, right?
Three times a week, except when I get in a really good mood and do four.
Sandy Rios, 24/7. Wesley, how can folks access that?
I go to AFR.net. That's AFR.net. Or go download our AFR app, and under podcasts, there you will find Sandy Rios 24/7.
Sandy Rios 24/7. Three times a week, you get Sandy's podcast with great interviews and information and issues you need to know about as a Christian conservative in the U.S. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks, guys.
Okay,
good to talk to you. Okay, bye-bye.
It's Sandy Rios joining us there. Ray, Wisconsin is a – we don't have a lot of listeners there because we don't have radio stations there, but Wisconsin's a – Sandy described it, you know, a lot of – what would you say? A real dichotomy there.
Outside of Madison, outside of Milwaukee, it's a conservative state, right? Get outside of those two
right.
metro areas. I've been in northern Wisconsin. That's conservative. I've been out there to the west around Eau Claire. That's basically very conservative. Now, Madison, Sandy called it. What did she say?
She said it was the like the home of communism or something like that.
Right. She's talking about the university.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is, it's not just left. I mean, yeah. it's
University of Wisconsin, Madison. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Way over there. You get out into the, I go up and preach up in northern Wisconsin, and you're just fine. Good conservative Christian
right.
people, Christian values. And President Trump won it. But, Tim, you remember, he didn't win it by a million votes. It was pretty close.
As it is normally. It's a
50-50 right.
type state for the reasons Sandy mentioned earlier. We had some, I knew some folks who lived along the lake shore there. What is that, Lake Michigan?
Yeah, Lake Michigan, yeah.
And they had they were in the cherry business.
Hmm.
Right.
They were cherry farmers.
They grow some apples, too, in Door County. I've been to Door County. Kenosha. I've been.
You've been up there? Why'd you go up there?
I actually, my mom grew up north of Chicago, right on the Illinois-Wisconsin line. If you hit Kenosha, you've gone just a bit too far where my mom grew up.
Okay.
I've been up to, a lot
but
of
the
places.
The climate is there is perfect for apples
yes.
and cherries and those kinds of
things. And for Mississippians, they go there during the summer and seek refuge from
the heat. Look, what you said about Door County, let me second that. If we're giving vacation advice
right.
to our listeners, go to Door County in the summer. You will. That's, you know, the Green Bay is at the bottom, and Door County kind of juts out into Lake Michigan, one of the most gloriously beautiful places I've ever been.
Door County, okay.
Like D-O-O-R, Door
County. Do a live show, Tim, and sample.
All right, how far is that from Wrigley Field?
Ooh,
good question.
Like 50 miles or so?
No, more than that. But it's not. It's not a.
Yeah,
probably
but
take a train though.
But I want to go. I want to go to Wrigley Field.
There you go. Catch the Cubs.
And I got to go. Road. That's my sports bucket list.
My first Major League Baseball game was at Wrigley. I saw them defeat the Braves. I'm not bitter. I hit the jackpot of like first MLB trips. I went to Wrigley.
Okay.
1998. It was actually during the home run race between McGuire and Sosa.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I saw Sosa hit one out of the park.
Sosa played for the Chicago Cubs.
That feels like 50 years ago at this point.
Well, I have been. I went last summer. Went to a game at Fenway Park in Boston, and that and Wrigley are the two like. I don't know what
history.
The
iconic.
That's the historical word. Theaters of baseball, if you want to call it that. So
they're featured in a lot of movies. In addition to all of their
the Wrigley Field with the ivy on the walls and all that.
Go there and ride the L. You can get on the elevated train.
Ride the elevated train. Get right off right next to Wrigley Field.
Okay. I'm writing this down here. Yeah. Ride
real
the,
Chicago right yeah. there.
And ride the elevator train.
And when you go to Wisconsin, we talked about this a long time ago, but it's an actual.
I'm writing all this down.
It's not an April Fool's joke. When you visit the great state of Wisconsin, take in a fish boil.
Oh, absolutely.
It is a unique experience.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
They boil
I've been to fish boil.
How do you spell the county?
Door, D-O-O-R, door, like
Door.
Open the door.
Go to Door County and go to a fish boil?
A fish boil, a yes,
fish
they
boil.
Boil fish there.
And they have a very famous Swedish restaurant.
I don't know, I'm thinking, when I think of fish, though, in the South, I think of fried, I don't think of boiled.
Well, they change it up there.
Yeah.
Wesley, you got to go north and check it. Let me tell you, like you, I prefer my fish fried.
Okay.
I want a coating on it or something.
That's
yeah.
Great.
But you go up there, that fish boil. They put all the, you know, that you got your onions.
Guessing it has flavors. Okay.
All the stuff.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly good.
Okay. Now, you said something about a Swedish restaurant.
Swedish restaurant in Door County that during the summer at least has the live goats. They've got it. It's got a grass roof, and they're on the roof eating the grass on top of the restaurant. Now, it's not like audio animatronics, real goats up there on top of the Swedish restaurant.
Ray, do you have some bad dreams or something?
No, I've been there.
Nothing really happened. Goats on top of the building?
That's right. That's right. We're not talking pictures or statues. They got goats up there.
Okay.
And
it's excellent food, by the way.
As you make your way through Illinois on your way to Wisconsin, you will pass by places where we have stations, including Cairo, Illinois.
Cairo.
And Salem, Illinois, too. You'll pass by those towns.
We have like 6 or 8 stations throughout Illinois, but this Swedish restaurant, you don't know the name of it, do you?
I bet some of our listeners do. Figure it out. I'll find out.
Okay, the Swedish restaurant with the goats on the roof.
Yeah.
That ought to be easy to Google. Huh? I mean, how many restaurants can there be?
Right.
All right, Door County. Go to Door County. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, listen. Hope folks appreciated the travel advice we gave the last 3 minutes.
Let's check out a van and go now.
All right.
AFR trip to Door County.
Door County. Well, Ray, you lived in the greater Chicago area for
That's right.
19 years or whatever. You know all that countryside well.
Wesley, you need to get a trip. Go to the Ark Museum, you know, the big Ark, and then just keep going north.
North.
I'm going to go home and do some boiled fish myself.
I found the restaurant.
But if I get it wrong, I can just say April Fool's.
Right. All right. We'll be back with more in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.